I was like, I'm hoping we're gonna go to worship and then it's gonna be 1 o'clock and but yeah, Gavin is like, nope, that's not happening. You're not getting a pass today. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Lord, we just want to thank you for this beautiful afternoon, Lord. We thank you for who you are. Your word speaks truth. And may your word speak to all of us today, including myself. I pray that you soften hearts. I pray that your word may pierce even the places where we don't want the word to speak to. We ask, Lord, that you speak to us directly. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So interesting that Lucas is here. I was not ready. But yeah, that being said, I sent Lucas a message yesterday. I'm like, hey, Lucas, I hope you're good. You know, like, I hope everything is okay. Then he's like, oh, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'm like, what? Just stay there in the Isle of Man. I think in the past 3 Sundays, there's been words that have been coming through. I think the first one was preached by Joey. He did a lot of illustration here on the front about the old man and how you need to drag the old man so that he can die, so that a new man can be born. And 2 weeks ago, Patrick preached a difficult preach. I don't think it was an easy preach. He spoke about how the Holy Spirit will work in our character to become who God wants us to become. And we're going to meet a lot of trials and tribulations across during that time. And last week, Joe spoke about the sword. How when the sword comes, it will separate you from the world. And when people start to look at you, they're going to go like, oh, now you're, what did you say, Joe? You bitchy holy? Like, you know, your family will start to see you differently because the sword has come. And these messages have been like a sharp sword to all of us. But they came with love. I think the word of God, when it comes to us, it comes with love. Because there is a need for change to happen in our lives. And I think we've all been called to lay down the old life so that a new man can come to life. So, that being said, the past 3 weeks have been tough. I'm going to make it a little bit easier for us today. So the word that I have is very easy. It's not a difficult one at all. I'm here to talk about how we can become beacons of light, because I believe that's what we are called for. Jesus called us so that we can become the light in our corners, in our workplace, in our homes. And I believe it starts in our own homes. I'll start off with one scripture, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 14. Faith, I don't know if I gave it to you. Okay. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I don't know if you have seen when the Olympics are about to start, there's always that guy that runs around with like a torch to show that something great is about to happen. We are called to illuminate in the darkness of this world. We're not called to sit back and hope that people will begin to know about Jesus, but we are called to show a path to righteousness. None of us are called, as we get saved, we're not called to sit back on our chair and go like, thank God I have a ticket to heaven. But we are called to bring more of Jesus into other people's lives. Think of a messenger that is sent by a king to the gate to warn the people to say, hey, there's war that is about to happen. When he runs, he will run with a torch so that people can see him, that the messenger is still on his way to the gate, just in case he does not make it, so that they can send someone else. So that messenger will run with a torch up until he reaches the gate so that he can send that message. Just like all of us, when we get saved, we are getting saved so that we can run with the word of God to our families, to our friends, to all the people that we know, all people around us, to teach them about the goodness of God that we've just experienced. When we become new creation, the Spirit ignites us with the truth. We begin to crave a different type of meal. I'm just reminded of in the past, before I got saved when I was young, and when I came to Varsity, things changed. I met new friends, and life really sort of changed. My life was a little bit different. And I would go to places where God would not approve of. I would do things that God will not approve of. But when I got saved, I had to make an adjustment. Do I continue to live in sin? Do I continue to walk the same walk that I used to walk? And that is a question. If you get saved, and there are certain things that when you used to do, you would feel it that I'm not supposed to do this. How are the people around you going to be able to see the new chief? How are people going to see a different person in you if you still go to the same places you used to go before you were saved? There needs to be a shift in our lives. Where we walk, people need to start to see a different Chifiwa. They need to see someone new. They need to see something has changed in our lives. That light needs to illuminate wherever we walk. You can't keep it under a basket. It needs to shine. It's very important to understand that we are salt. I think the word of God speaks about us being salt and that we give flavor to the world. And when we speak the word of God, then the people begin to taste the goodness of God through how we speak. And that our lifestyle becomes a light and we illuminate the goodness of Christ with the way we live every day. Now, there are a few things I would like to talk about that will help us really to become practical in illuminating the light as Christians. The first one is serving others. I think it is very easy for me to find myself saving other people because I'm sort of have been put in a position of leading people from a comm leader perspective. So I look forward to having people in our home every Wednesday, making coffee. I've actually stopped now making coffee for people. I go like, when you arrive in my house, you can make coffee yourself. I only make coffee for someone who's new, but for everyone who's been in my home, you need to start learning how to make coffee. And one of the reasons for that is so that you can also practice to make coffee, and not only for yourself, but also for others, so that also when I come to your home, you don't feel that pressure like, oh no, I need to run around. You need to feel free. So serving others with love, it's a sign of illuminating what Christ has put in you. The second one is sharing your faith boldly. Now, if no one at work has ever called you pastor, maybe you have not really shown how serious you are about your Savior. My wife was sharing something on Wednesday. She said she used to send emails to this guy all the time at work about Christ, you know, forwarding emails up until this guy's like, I'm going to invite you to a dark world meeting. And she's like, oh. And then she continued and continued and continued until she said, I'm going to report you to HR. And then she stopped. Up until that happens, maybe you have not really experienced Christ in the way that you should experience him. Because you should share the love of Christ with others. When you're sitting there, you're like, sure, I hope he's saved. I like what Joe said last week when he went to a meeting where the youngsters were having a get-together, and there was one lady that he didn't know. He was like, I hope she's saved. And that should be the heart of everyone, wherever we are, in our workplace, when we walk, like, sure, I hope this person is saved. Because when you start feeling that way, you can begin to share the word of God with them boldly, without fear, because you know that one day I would like to be with this brother in heaven. One day I want to meet you, my sister, in heaven. But that won't happen unless we share the love of Christ with others. The third thing that I want to talk about, I think this is spoken so well by a lot of people, is love. People will never begin to see that you have Christ unless you love them. And you can't love unless you have Christ. I think it's impossible. It's very impossible. I said to my comm the other day, I said, I always have this fear where if you can't get along with me right now here, and we are Christians, how do you think we're going to get along when we get to heaven? It won't happen. If we do not have love for each other, we don't have Christ. But how we can show the world that we have Christ and that his light shines on us is that we will love each other unconditionally, irrespective of where we come from, irrespective of what we have or what we don't have. We will show so much love for each other that the world will begin to see and wonder why. People will begin to flock into this building because they've seen us loving each other so well that they also want to feel that love. I met a gentleman when I came in this morning. He's not here. He attended the morning congregation. So I just met him. I'm like, hey, he was about to make coffee and I could see he was struggling. So I said, oh, let me pour for you. As I'm pouring it, I'm like, is it your first time here? He's like, yes. I'm like, oh, no. Then you don't have to pour this coffee. Come. And then, you know, we went on and then we went to get coffee there on the front. And then he said something profound to me. He's like, you know, So I asked him, how long have you been around here? He's like, I've been here for like 7 years in Parklands, but it's my first time here at church today. I came walking here last week and I saw there were cars outside. So I'm like, oh, there's a church here. Maybe I should come. And he came here. So he's like, this place is different. Like you people, it's like, you're like a family. I'm like, yeah, that's who we are. And so I got him the coffee and then we were chatting and then I sort of took his number. I said, I'll follow up. I'll also give you a number so the guys, because I'm in a different congregation, just for them to follow up at a later stage. But he's like, I'm coming back here. Because he saw love. Nothing. There was nothing. He just saw, like, wow, these people have love. Like, he was testifying. He's like, there's so much love in this place. Now, if we don't show love to each other, how are people going to see that there is Christ in this place? It's going to be very difficult. The next one is building relationships. Now, how are we going to build relationships with each other? We need to invest money, time. Now you say, Chief, but I don't have money. Then invest your time. Spend time with Chief. Spend time with the person next to you. Spend time with the person in your comm. Like, just grab coffee. Go to their home. That costs time. Now, a lot of us, we get saved and we continue to hang around people that I grew up with that are still not saved. But we don't hang around people that are saved. We will not grow in faith. And we will continue to go back and do the things that we used to do before. In a circle of four friends, if you get saved and you still continue to invest your time with them, chances are their influence will be more than your influence in their lives. It's almost impossible that you're going to convert all of them. If you invite them to church and they don't come, but they invite you somewhere else and you are there, they're like, they're still part of us. It's not you going like, they're part of me. But if you invite them to church and they are coming all the time, then at least you have a chance of winning a brother. But if you do it so many times that they're not coming, I would say leave them. It costs. It's a cost. I said to Gavin jokingly, I said, nah, I have no friends anymore. I literally don't have friends. All my old friends are gone. I don't have them. Because I had to make a conscious decision. Because they were becoming more of an influence in my life than I was into their lives. They could dictate what I do than what I could dictate what they should do. Because what are the chances that you will sit with your friend and say, guys, let's read the Bible. Like, let's just sit all of us under a tree and read the Bible. It's not going to happen. But there is a chance that they will say, bruh, let's go to Long Street. I'm not saying there's anything with Long Street. But there is a higher chance that they will be able to say to you, let's go here. And the chance of you falling will be much greater than a chance of you bringing them to Christ. So invest your time with the people that have good intentions for your life, which is your brothers and sisters here in the church. When you get saved, you get born into a new family. So make priority to invest your time with your new family. The last one is you need to discover your calling. God has called all of us. I always say this also in my comm. I say, God has called every single one. There is not a single person that is not called here. Every one of us is called. But you will not discover your calling unless you spend time in the Word. God will only speak to you if you spend time with Him. And there is no special formula of how you should speak to Him. It's just spending time with the Father. Like, go on your knees, sit down, you know, lay on the couch, speak to your Father. It doesn't matter how you come to Him. He knows what's in your heart even before you say it. So he's ready and waiting to listen. Now, once you discover your calling, it makes it much easier for you to illuminate the light so that when you walk, people can see Christ in you. People should not see you and praise you, but people should see Christ and say, I want what he has. I want what she's got. But can people see Christ in our lives today? Some of us have been saved for 30, 20, 50 years. But can we truly say, people at my workplace, they know I'm saved. When I sit in a meeting and they're starting to talk nasty stuff, do they caution how they speak because you are present? Or do they continue because you also engage in speeches that you should not engage in? But you're like, Chief, we work in a secular world. I think we are called to be different. And we are called to show that there is a difference. There should be a different meeting at a workplace when you are there than when you are not there. When you are not there, people should go like, oh, finally, he's not here. They can continue. It's okay. But when you are there, people should say, guys, Chief is here. People should be able to swear and say, sorry, Chief, because you are there. Guys, I'm not saying all these things because they happen. I said I'm speaking also to myself because I also need transformation. And I do believe that all of us need transformation. There are a few scriptures that I have prepared. Ephesians 5. From verse 8 to 10, says that, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, every time we walk, we need to be able to discern what is good and what is pleasing to the Lord. Do places where we go to and things that we say, are they pleasing to the Lord? We need to always ask ourselves. The next scripture will be Colossians 3:23. Did I give you? I didn't. Okay, it's fine. You can skip that. But basically it says that whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Approach your work with excellence and integrity. Because if you don't, and you stand and say, by the way, guys, I'm saved, but they go like, but your work is a bit shady. You know, we as Christians, I always say, Christians should be working hard in corporate. We should be leading as an example in the corporate. You can't be going like, oh, by the way, I'm going to a church conference, so I'm going to take 2 days off. They're like, what is that? Like, how does it help you? They should be going like, you know what? That guy is a hard worker. It's fine. You can take off. I want to be like him because he works hard. I want the same Jesus he's got because it looks like this Jesus helps him to work hard. But if we are lazy, then we need to pray hard for God to give us strength so that we're not lazy. I don't think God loves lazy people. So we should be working harder than a non-believer. The next scripture, 1 Peter 2. keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. If our conduct is not good enough, how will people will speak evil of us, and they will never be able to see the Christ in us? Now, as Christians, it's important that we should be mindful every time of every behavior that we do. I think Joe touched on this earlier, that everything that we do, people should not find fault in it. So we should always be on guard. And I like what Joe did when he came to share here about what he said last week. I don't think a lot of people actually remembered what he preached on, or even the statement probably that he said jokingly. But that's honorable to come and say, guys, in the 35 minutes preach that I did, there was this 5 seconds that I said ABC that I just felt it could hurt or it was not honoring. And I want to apologize if I've hurt anyone. Now that takes a man who's after Jesus to say that, because he could just have gone like, I'm an elder. Like, I don't even think people will remember. I don't think people actually go and listen to the preaches that have occurred. All this preach gets recorded, but I don't think a lot of people go and listen to what was said and scrutinize what a person was saying. There's very few people who do that. A lot of us, it's like, ah, oh, it was a Lekker Sunday. Everything went well. But it took him to humble himself and say, I need to go and just be sure that people didn't get me in the wrong way. So that was very an honorable thing. Thanks, Joe, for that. So even for all of us, let's be mindful of our behavior in everything that we do, in our walk. The world is watching. Now, all these things that I've said, I don't think they're going to be possible for us to do in our own self, strength, and we can try and illuminate light, you know, but it can come to a point where we get tired. We will come across obstacles. And I just want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rules, the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Just in closing, this scripture here just shows us how God is going to give us strength. and where the strength will come from for us to continue illuminating his light. It won't be easy, but he has given us the power through his word. So if we spend time in the word, I think almost scripture will guide us in terms of how to overcome challenges, how to handle certain circumstances. And out of all, I think love will cover a lot of things. If we love each other, honestly, we'll be able to conquer everything. We need to study the word of God so that it can help us to become better and better servants. If you don't remember anything, this is the following things I want you to remember. We have been called to be lights in the dark world. By understanding our roles in the kingdom and overcoming obstacles that hinder us from performing our roles and taking practical steps to allow the Spirit to work in us, we can fulfill the divine purpose which God has created us for. And I challenge all of you, in your comms, in your workplace, at home, can your kids tell a difference when you speak to them that my father speaks to me as if he's one of the men that is written in the Bible? Or do they wish that they were never part of that family because of you? So just to recap on what we spoke about today, is that as Christians, we need to understand our identity. We are not just followers, but we are bearers of light. And we need to show that light. Let's not hide it. Every day, wherever we go, our purpose is to illuminate the world with God's glory. And lastly, we are here to influence others through good works, not just speeches, but through good works. Now, you may be sitting here and thinking, how do I even begin to illuminate this light if I don't even know God? Now, if you don't know him, today is your day. If you don't know Jesus that I was talking about, today is your day. He said in his word that if you acknowledge me in front of people, I will also acknowledge you in front of my Father one day. But if you deny me, I will also deny you. Now, with all eyes closed, if you are here today and you want to know Christ, I want you to raise your hand. If you are here today and you want to know who's the Father and you want to be able to illuminate this light, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, my brother. We've been called to illuminate light into this world. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lucky, for raising your hand. Can we give a hand to Lucky? It's his first day today at at church. I think you were invited by Tabang, yes. God had made a divine appointment for you today, and I'm glad that you came. And you did an honorable thing. You have begun to acknowledge him in front of everyone. And today the heavens are rejoicing. Yeah. If maybe one of the leaders can just go and pray with Lucky, anyone, one of the deacons, maybe. Okay. Yeah, Lord, we just want to thank you for today. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that you have given each and every one of us your word. As we begin to walk in faith, we ask that, Lord, you walk with us. We ask, Lord, that you will teach us not to be ashamed of who you are, but to proclaim your goodness every day, to proclaim who you are in all that we do. You loved us before we were saved. You died on the cross for a sinful man like me. And today, Lord, we can stand before men and acknowledge who you are, because you are a good God. And we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.